You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
This week, the government announced another plan change to Plan Change 120, Auckland's plan for future housing developments across the city. Originally, the plan proposed a minimum housing capacity of 2 million, but many in central suburbs raised concerns that intensification could harm the character of their neighbourhoods. In February, the government lowered the minimum capacity to 1.6 million, which Auckland Council and Mayor spoke out against. Despite the disagreement, Council developed new plans for 1.6 million capacity. This week, however, the government announced plans to lower the minimum capacity further to 1.4 million, forcing Council to make further changes to the plans. Also, these past few weeks, we've seen disagreements between the government and council over how to best manage the fuel crisis. The government has focused on payouts to middle and lower class families with children, but Mayor Wayne Brown says a better solution could involve subsidising public transport. To discuss each of these issues, News Director Castor spoke to Councillor Julie Ferry.
We've seen some changes announced by the government, or it's changes pushed by the government in February. And we've seen another set of changes pushed this past week. What's council's, I guess, take on this? The government continually making changes to a plan that seems largely targeted at Auckland. Is it important for the government to be interfering in this?
I think the first thing to know is that this is a plan that determines the future of Auckland's housing and development. So it's about saying, it's about firstly acknowledging that we need more housing as a city and that we need to put it close to jobs and services and education, close to access to strong public transport networks, like the new investment that's just about to open in the city rail links, right? So those are the principles from which the whole plan discussion started, in fact, back in about 2021 with the previous government. And what we've had since then is a series of interventions from central government, which have directed Auckland as a council, because we have to own and deliver this plan, right? They've directed Auckland Council to go particular ways to achieve those overall outcomes of more housing, in a way that's better for people to be able to access what they need close by where they live, right? And the latest intervention, which I found out about yesterday, is a bit of a surprise, because we had been heading in a direction from the legislation that the current government passed in, I think it was either August or September last year, which feels like a very long time ago, but is actually not. And they passed legislation that said we want you to make sure there's at least 2 million extra theoretical dwelling homes allowed by the plan, right? And they set up some rules for us around that as well, about where they wanted more housing and that kind of stuff. So we produced a proposal on a very, very tight time frame and went out to public submissions. People had made those submissions, 10,500 of them, which everyone had to do by Christmas, by the 19th of December. And at that stage, everybody was working on the basis we were heading towards this 2 million figure, right? And then in January, government started to get cold feet about it. We didn't really know about that until February, when they started openly talking about, instead of it being a 2 million figure, a figure of 1.6, which is quite a lot lower than 2. So then we started working in good faith on the basis that we were working to a new figure of 1.6. Then we passed some principles, which they asked us to pass, for where we would prioritise reducing housing. And we started work on that. And we've been looking at, okay, do we reduce it here? Do we reduce it there? Early days of that discussion. And then, surprise, told us, no, it's not going to be 1.6, it's going to be 1.4. So we've had three different targets in 3 months. And I'm really aware, it's now April. Will we get another target this month? I really hope not, because we all need some certainty and consistency. And people had made submissions based on the 2 million target and the plan that was put up then. And the further we get away from what was notified and submitted on, the less fair that is to Aucklanders having a proper say, and the less we can as a council deliver a really good comprehensive plan that actually works. Because while they're making these big changes to big parts of what we have to do, they are not changing the timeframe that we have to do it in.
And you mentioned that the drop down to 1.6 million was a big jump down from 2 million. And we've seen this jump also down to, again, 1.4 million. What does that look like in terms of material plan development? What do these numbers mean in practice? And what kind of work, what kind of changes will we be seeing in the plan now that the scope has changed?
Changed again. I just need to rub that in because it's a very sore point. So what we had started discussing was the idea that, for example, one of the things that informed where we put more housing for the 2 million target was we looked at the most patronised and frequent bus routes across the region, right? And we took, if I remember correctly, I think it's about the top 24 or 25 of those, and on the map, put in more housing around those bus routes on the principle that that would be somewhere where you want to put more housing because the people who live there will be able to access public transport, good, frequent, rapid transit that will give them options. They don't necessarily have to own a car to participate. They'll be able to access what they need, right? And so now what we were talking about when we were talking about 1.6 was, okay, instead of looking at the top 24 or 25, maybe we look at the top 20 instead, and we reduce the increased housing allowed around those bottom ones. So with that, those kinds of things, and we had a range of things that started to us to sort of test our interest around those kinds of ideas. So similar with some of the smaller town centres, do we go, okay, instead of saying you could go up to 6 stories around these smaller town centres, that have less services and are less connected to transport routes. We carve off the bottom 10 of those, that kind of thing, right? And so still keeping the overall principle. But the other thing that hasn't really fully come out yet, and we haven't had a briefing on this yet, so this news broke yesterday, and all day yesterday until 7 p.m. last night, councillors were in a big meeting deciding a number of big issues like the future of Western Spring Stadium. And so we've had no time for staff to even prepare, because a lot of the senior staff who would prepare this information and brief us were in that meeting. We've had no time to actually debrief. So I'm going a little bit off the vibes here. But what they've told us we have to do is now it's a 1.4 target, but also we have to give an effect to what's called the National Policy Statement on Urban Development, which requires us to increase housing around those rapid transit networks, around town centres, those kinds of train stations, that kind of stuff. And it's likely that to comply with that national policy statement, we would actually have got pretty close to 1.6 anyway. We might have fallen a little bit short, but actually we can't, on the one hand, come down to 1.4 million and on the other hand meet this national policy statement, because if we do the national policy statement we'll end up with a higher number of dwellings than the 1.4. We can go higher than 1.4, but politically that's going to be really difficult now that they've lowered the target. So it's really messy. Like, it was messy already, and what keeps happening in this process is they make it really messy and hard for us. They give us no resources to do this. They give us stupid, ridiculous timeframes. And then somehow we make it work as best we can, and then they change things again. And it's incredibly frustrating. Normally, plans like this are slowly and carefully worked through with several rounds of consultation by a council. And so the overreach into our area of expertise and power, when they don't really understand, which I think is what's driving some of the changes and the ridiculous timelines, they don't really understand it. They don't understand how this stuff works. And as a result, they're passing laws that put completely unreasonable expectations on the council.
I also wanted to talk about the fuel crisis and the national response to the fuel crisis. We've seen council, especially the Mayor Wayne Brown, criticising the government for providing people with bonus money as opposed to subsidising public transport. What are the council's thoughts on this? How could the government, I guess, be better supporting Auckland in particular in reducing our fuel consumption and providing people with support as prices continue to go up?
I think the Mayor's totally right on this one. I think that if government were serious about supporting individual people but also the city and the function of the city as a place of community and economy, they would be putting more resources into supporting public transport and making that a more viable option for people instead of having to drive. It's disappointing. They've made a number of cuts to various programs and investments that were helping us to decarbonise. So, for example, getting rid of the clean car discount. Those were moves that, you know, had they continued on, we would be, as a country but also as a city, much less vulnerable now. But we can't suddenly start doing those things again when the situation is acute like this. I hope they do start doing those things again, but in terms of the current crisis, we know that we need to do mode shift anyway, because that's how we will address our carbon emissions. It's also much fairer for people, people who can't drive, for example, people who could never afford to run a car, even if fuel was cheaper than it is now, those kinds of things. So there's an equity issue there around that public transport gives people options that cars don't always. So, the idea that we give a small number of people $50 a week, and I would say there's actually a real risk that will become inflationary too, in terms of the petrol companies will know, will quite a lot of people in what the government referred to as the squeezed middle now have this $50 extra. We don't need to be quite so competitive on the price of petrol. I don't know, I'm no big city economist, but I would have thought there's a risk there. It really worries me that the government package, which I think is directed incorrectly, it's $300+ million. They could easily have put that into public transport. Would have made a huge difference in terms of subsidy. But also it's missing a whole lot of people. It's missing students, your community. And I really liked the, I can't remember what it's called, but I think it's the fuel crisis package or something that AUSA and the AUT Students Association have put out, saying, let's make public transport free. I'd love it if we did that eventually anyway. So why don't we try it and see what happens? But that will need government funding, and it will need the government to allow us to change what's called the farebox recovery percentage, which is basically the amount of money that council brings in from public transport fares. So we can't do that on our own. We actually need permission from central government to get less income from fares, and we need the subsidy to actually pay for the public transport.
That was Auckland Councillor Julie Ferry speaking to News Director Castor about the second round of PC 120 changes and disagreements over how to provide support amidst the fuel crisis.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.